When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
In 86, Anne M. Martin wrote the first book of what became a cult. Now it's time for Babysitter's Club.
Hello, and hi. We're back. And hello to you, Tanner.
Hi.
And hi to you.
What are you up to today?
Doing a podcast now, and previously work.
Nice.
Cyril and I did stop on the way home from school to go look at a front loader.
Okay, not a backhoe loader.
Okay, and you're really pushing my fucking buttons because I was like, oh, look at the front loader, and he was like, Dad, that's a backhoe, and I was like, oh, I think it is a backhoe loader.
Oh, so you were hoping. I see what you were trying to do. You came to me now and said front loader. And then you were expecting me to just kind of agree with you. And then you were going to go back to Cyril and be like, yeah, Uncle Tanner says Uncle it's Tanner. A front loader.
Yeah. And in fact, you did the same like fucking nagging. I was like, I don't know. I genuinely said to him, I was like, oh, because I don't want to teach him wrong. I was like, oh, I can't tell, like, because it has a scoop on the front, but it does have a backhoe. I was like, it looks like a front loader to me because it's, like, using the scoop. But is it a backhoe loader? And he was like, yeah, Dad, it's a backhoe loader.
Right.
I like the new grown-up version of Cyril imitation that I do.
It's not this anymore.
Because that's not quite what it was like, but it was quite like that. He's like, it's a backhoe loader. It's a backhoe loader.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's get your shit together, Jack. Yeah. We're not here to talk about backhoe loaders. We're here to talk about the incredible Babysitter's Club Netflix series starring, well, neither of us.
No, the names of the people. But they're all so good.
They are all so good. It was a Claudia episode this week, and the young woman they found to play Claudia is great, and she can really pull off those Claudia outfits.
She just nails it, and her Claudia outfits are so much better than, and I have to say it, the Claudia outfits that the girl wears on the cover of the Friends Forever books.
Yeah, those are poorly done. But we're not here to build up the show by tearing down the Friends Forever books. Someone worked hard on those book covers, and we've talked about that before, and we're not here to shit all over their life's work.
Do you think that was their life's work? Because that is, like, assuming that that was their life's work is kind of shitting over it.
I think so. I think it's their life's work.
What I'd like to do is introduce the show. The way I do that is I say, hi, hi.
Hi.
That's what Jamie Newton says, by the way. You guys haven't met him yet.
Yeah. Is he on the show? Do we know?
Look, I don't know. They're busy with their own whatever they're doing. And welcome to the Babysitter's Club.
Club.
And you say it, and I don't. And it's
no,
Babysitter's
Club. I don't like it.
What do you want to say it together?
You say it too.
Okay, fine. The Babysitter's Club.
Club.
Club. A podcast in which I, Jack Shepherd.
And I, Tanner Greenring.
Okay. Talk about.
What?
That's okay. No, that's good. I loved it. I love that you just went along with it. The two of us, I'm like flummoxed from it. Okay. And it's just we're in a sentence that's working.
Not anymore.
I, Jack Shepherd, and I, Tanner Greenring.
But you've kind of, now you've.
No, I love
you're
it.
You're hoisted on your
don't
own
ruin
petard.
This for me. Don't ruin this for me. The two of us, we both, what we do is we talk about the, currently we talk about the Netflix series, Babysitter's Club.
We talk about the Netflix series.
By the hand of God.
Yes.
Rachel.
Do we do a new epithet for her each week, like Anne?
Shukert.
Or an aunt, or an honorific?
I don't know. I don't want to formalize it. Because here's what I think. I think that each ghostwriter gets one epithet. Sweet Pete is sweet. Sweet Feet of sweet Pete.
Sweet Pete is sweet Feet.
The entity is the entity.
Nola That Girl.
Nola That Girl.
Well, no, she's also Nolan One.
Yeah, sure. But you don't get as
and
many
we're Wainiacs.
As I think you get one way of thinking about yourself. That's how it works in Greek mythology. And for okay. Rachel Shukert.
We should have Rachel on the show and ask her what she thinks of herself.
Yeah, but she probably thinks of herself as the hand of God, because if you'll remember from the last episode, she put a big painting on Claudia's door that's a yes. Illuminati symbol of a hand with a triangle in the middle that is the biggest hint I've ever seen that someone wants to be called the hand of God. And Anne is the hand that shakes.
Yes.
Rachel's the hand of God. And what we do is we talk about the TV series now, and we'll be back to the books later. But now it's a TV series. We watched another one, didn't we? And it was good again, wasn't it?
It was good again. Oh, I forgot a joke that I said to the VP at Scholastic.
Okay.
At the end of the email, I said, P.S., we're almost out of books. Can you please convince Anne to write more?
That's funny.
Thank you.
It was good again.
What a delight it is to email with me.
Yeah, it's fun to email with you. Jamie, your wife, did a funny tweet. That was like...
That's Borat.
She was like... So here's the difference between your family and my family.
Yeah.
Jamie did a tweet that seemed like it was getting a lot of engagement, where she was okay. like, I really want to watch the Netflix Babysitter's Club show because my dumb husband has a...
dumb. Implied, but...
Has a dumb podcast.
Yeah.
I have to watch it just like one episode per week, which is like, these shows are like little chunks. They're little snacks. So it's like, it's pretty insane to watch just 30 minutes a week. And everyone was like, oh, that sucks. And I was thinking about that tweet in relation to Sarah's life. Sarah also really wants to watch the Babysitter's Club Netflix
right.
show.
Yeah.
And she was like, hey, today she was like, hey, can we watch?
Why did you just do her voice? Why did you lower your voice to do an impression of Sarah?
I don't know. I'm trying to create the illusion of another person speaking. It's acting.
Okay.
She was like, "Hey, can we watch the show now together?" She watched the first episode by herself, and I was like, "Oh, no.
No.
There's no way you and I can watch the show together, because the way I watch it is I pause every 5 seconds to like take notes
yeah.
and look at what's in the background, and
yep.
it would be a very unpleasant viewing experience for you."
Yeah, Jamie and I watched the second episode last night so that we could record about it tonight, and I realized about 10 minutes in, after I had already paused 5 times to write down some snarky, shitty joke
yeah.
in my computer,
yeah.
I was like, oh, this is a terrible way to watch this show. And she said, yeah. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's not ideal viewing, but it's
what we're doing.
Well, we're working.
We're doing our best. We're working. And this week we did watch a video book, didn't we? And the video book was called Babysitter's Club Netflix Show. Claudia.
The Babysitter's Club Netflix Show. Claudia.
And the Phantom Phone Calls.
Did you notice, Jack? And
yeah.
It's this kind of attention to detail that the hand of God and her PAs give mm-hmm. us. The episode opens with a journal opening up.
Yeah.
It was Claudia's journal this week.
It was Claudia's
journal. Last week it
journal.
Was Christy's yeah. journal. This week it was Claudia's.
But the handwriting for the opening credits is still Christy's handwriting.
That might be Rachel's handwriting.
No, I think it's Christy. Unless okay. Rachel writes just like Christy.
Might. She might.
Yeah, it's possible.
The video books are epistolary.
Are they?
Yeah, because every episode opens up with... like a diary opening up.
So it's not epistolary. Epistolary would be letters, and it's
no. She's right. No. She's narrating her letter, or she's narrating her text that she's written in her journal.
Right. So that's not epistolary, because epistolary is very specific.
It's like a letter to herself.
Okay, fine. That you got me on a technicality.
Well, what do you call epistolary when it's not when it's diaries?
Just like
then hotshot
first person. That's what
autobiographical maybe.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, they're these episodes are autobiographical then.
Yes, and they are. And she's talking to us.
Yes, me.
To you, specifically. Let's talk about this book. I think the way we like to do it... Fuck, it's not a book.
Video book.
We'll talk about the video book. I just don't want to get called out, you know? People are going to be like, they're past it, you know? They're calling this video book a book. We don't even know what that is. We don't have them.
Oh, right.
Let's talk about this video book. The way we like to do it is you describe it in 60 seconds.
Okay.
Great. I thought you were going to push back, but you didn't.
Well, why me? I thought you did it.
I did it last week.
Oh, okay. I just assumed you would always do it.
That's unfair, isn't it?
Okay. Let's see if I can remember much.
It's pretty easy to remember. You've read the book.
Read the book and I watched the video show yesterday.
Here's what I'm going to do. I've got a big bad clock right here. I'm going to put 60 seconds on it. During those 60 seconds, you're going to describe everything that happens in this video novel. Are you ready?
Yes.
I'll begin now.
Okay, it's Halloween, and that means it's the Halloween hop, and everyone is trying to figure out who they're going to go to the dance with. Claudia has an interest in a handsome young artistic boy named Trevor Sanborn, and she wants to go to the date with him, the dance with him, but she is failing math, so she cheats and gets a test from Stacy. Stacy seduces her to the dark side, and she puts her name on it and convinces her parents that she got an A because Janine does this whole thing where Janine's like, if she gets an A, she should go to the dance, and if she gets an F, she shouldn't. And her parents are just like, great parenting, Janine. Anyway, she at the last second shows them the test and shows her parents the real test, which is an F. And she's like, sorry, I lied. And they're like, okay, you can't go to the dance. Also happening in this episode, the pervert phantom phone caller is here and he's calling people. And Christy meets Karen and Andrew Brewer.
Okay, medium job.
I say good job.
Okay, well,
I got it all.
Got a lot to talk about in there. I think that the question that the episode asks us,
yes,
which is one that I think you and I can try to answer over the course of the next 45 minutes or so.
Okay.
Who or what is the phantom phone caller? I think that's a good question to have in the back of our mind as we explore this rich video novel.
I don't want our entire exploration of all these video novels to be comparing them to the novels.
No, we won't do that.
It's fruitless, and they're two different things, and they're from two different eras, and everything about them is different. And Rachel is on her own journey. It feels weird to be in a first name. The Hand of God is on her own journey.
Yeah.
Doing her own thing, and it's admirable, and I appreciate and like it.
I applaud it.
In the book, mm-hmm. Babysitter's Club, number two, Claudia and the Phantom Phone Caller, there is a Phantom Phone Caller who exists in the world and terrorizes all of Southern Connecticut.
Right.
And he's real. And he's out there, and he's coming to get you.
And he's still at large.
Yep.
Yeah.
It turns out that the phantom phone caller has copycat crime doers in mm-hmm. that book, and it's Alan Gray and Trevor Sanborn.
Right. Is it Trevor in that
one? I think
one?
It might be. Yeah,
it might be. Mm-hmm.
Who just want to ask the girls out to the Halloween hop, but are too nervous.
And scare them a little bit.
And scare them a little bit because that's sort of sexy.
It's kind of sexy,
isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? in this text, video text,
mm-hmm.
the phantom phone caller is all of us.
The phantom phone caller is all of us and each of us.
The phantom phone caller is that sense of anxiety.
Yeah, that we all have.
That we all live with.
Yeah.
It's that kind of nagging self-doubt. It's your imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
It's your failures. It's your failures to live up to others' expectations.
Well, that's one interpretation of what the phantom phone caller is. What Claudia says is, at the 13-minute and 51 mark.
And that feeling, the one that makes you feel sad and scared and not good enough, that's the real phantom caller.
That's Claudia's view of what the phantom phone caller. I could argue, Tanner.
Yes.
The phantom phone caller is other things, and this is a good thing for us to dive into.
Okay.
Because we don't have to take Claudia's word for it. The phantom phone caller, the act of a phantom phone call is a failed communicative act, isn't it?
It's a failed communicative act. So you think the phantom phone caller just wants to talk to someone and is failing to do so.
I think that the phantom phone caller represents God, and I just can't. You know, there's that Guns N' Roses song, the first, I think it's like the first track on Use Your Illusion 2. It begins, he goes, "What we have here is failure to communicate." And then it's okay. It's Civil War. And he's like, "I don't want your civil war." You know that one?
No.
Okay, well, I just had to reference it. We'll play a clip, I guess.
I wouldn't.
What the phantom phone caller represents is failed communication in all its forms. For yes. Claudia, it's that. It's the failed communication that comes when you feel sad and scared and like you're not good enough and you fail to communicate your true self.
Okay.
There are other examples of failed communication in this video text. There are the signal lamps.
Where Marianne.
Marianne tries to do a big Morse code on Christy.
And Christy shuts her window.
And I don't know if you noticed, but with those signal lamps, Marianne's like, "Oh, we have this communication system." And she does like three flashes of a lamp, and there's like subtitles under it. And it's like, she is able to communicate with those three flashes. Like, "Hey, Christy, I'm really sorry that I like said fucked up shit about your dad. Like, I was feeling insecure and I didn't mean it. And I hope we can still be friends." Which is, that's...
It sounds like a complex language, and it sounds like there's a lot of room for error, which is maybe why Christy wasn't receptive to the message, because she could have been reading... I think when you have that few, like, phonemes...
Yeah.
...to express that much thought...
Yeah.
...there's bound to be mistakes and confusions. Some failed communication.
So maybe the reason Christy was mad is because Marianne... accidentally said some, like, conveyed some fucked up.
She, like, said another fucked up thing about her dad.
Yeah. She's like, "Hey, Patrick's never coming back. He doesn't love you. He only loves himself."
Right.
Christy's like, "God damn it. Marianne, you woke me up for this." There is the failed communication between Claudia and her parents, isn't there?
Yes. Well, she lies to them.
She does a big lie because Stacy convinces her.
Yes.
There's also a phantom phone caller in this video novel. There's a phantom phone caller that's Marianne herself.
Marianne is the phantom phone caller.
She's the phantom phone caller.
The phantom phone caller is all those things.
Yeah.
It's our insecurities. It's our anxieties. It's our failures in the eyes of others. And it is... our failure to communicate.
It's the vast rift that exists between us as humans. It's the hardest thing about living in the world, in what Heidegger calls Mit-Dasein, being with others.
Heidegger's canceled. You can't quote him anymore.
Okay. Well, he's been canceled for a very long time.
But...
yeah,
the phantom phone caller is made manifest in this video novel. It's Marianne. She does do phantom phone calls on Christy and Karen Brewer.
Yes. And
can
also,
we talk about...
can I just say one more real phantom phone caller? Can I? One more?
Please.
The real phantom phone caller. That, and this whole fucking video novel is a head fake. Because Anne and the Hand of God are trying to distract us from the fact that there is a real phantom phone caller. He's out there. He's at large. He's never been caught. Fucking Mr. Spear from The Good Place says that he's real. It's in the news. He's there, and then but he's not. And Anne and Rachel are doing misdirection because they don't want us. They want us to think about the phantom phone caller that's inside of all of us, and they don't want us to think about the phantom phone caller that the Scholastic liars and, I'm sorry to say it, Rachel and Anne have failed to fucking catch, and they've had 40 years to do it. They can't catch it.
I guess we should come up with... so we have the Scholastic liars, but now we've got Walden Media too.
Okay.
So I guess we'll call them the Walden...
greedier.
Is there like a pun on attorney that's like...
greedier.
What?
Instead of media.
Media. Greedia. Walden Greedia is pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So yeah, the Scholastic liars and Walden Greedia.
Yeah, they're just trying to... they're trying to
distract
fucking,
us because they can't solve this fucking
cold case. Yeah.
And there's a pervert phantom home caller out there on the loose.
For 40 years.
For 40 years since the book was written.
Yeah.
And Anne and
Anne was like, "Hey, Rachel, can you do this? Hey, Walden,
here's my case file." And she like puts down this like giant like, bursting manila folder.
"I've been hunting for this fucking dangerous criminal who's been preying on the citizens of Stony Brook since 1986.
Right.
And they're like, well, what we've discovered is that the phantom phone caller was inside us all along." No.
Anne is like, "No, we didn't even say that."
Yeah, yeah.
"We at least said the phantom phone caller was
still
real.
At large. You should be worried about him."
I hope our friends at Walden Greedia don't get mad at us for their new... We've been in contact with Walden Greedia, and they're very nice.
They're very nice, and they're making available a lot of their talent for us to talk to. So,
yeah.
So anyway, but what? Hey, I don't write the rules.
I don't write the rules. I'm just here to enforce them. Jack,
is that why you didn't want to talk about Heidegger? Because you didn't want to offend Walden Greedia?
No, I don't want to talk about Heidegger because he's canceled. He's canceled.
Okay.
You know what he did?
I know what he did. That's very bad.
Yeah.
The worst.
You know who else is canceled, by the way? T.S. Eliot.
I know.
You've got some problematic faves.
I know. Let's talk about
your favorite football team. The episode opens, Jack.
Yes.
With a... Claudia's Closet.
Oh, great. I love that. And there was a creaking door and everything. What a seamless transition to Claudia's Closet. We've never done that before. What's she wearing this week? It's where we talk about what Claudia and everybody was wearing.
She tries on a number of different outfits at the beginning of the episode. All of them look fly as hell.
Yeah, she looks great. And they look so Claudia. They did such a fucking good job with these costumes. It's so believable. It's so what Claudia would wear.
What she settles on for the day... Mm-hmm. is an outfit that makes her look like a watermelon.
Mm.
Did you notice?
Yeah, she's got watermelon earrings.
She had watermelon earrings, and she was wearing a pink undershirt and a green sweater over it.
Yeah.
And she was clearly going for that watermelon look.
I'm a watermelon. Yeah, that's good.
And it worked, because Trevor Sanborn was like, I wouldn't mind taking a bite out of that.
I would like to take a tasty breakfast watermelon.
Why breakfast?
When would you have it?
I guess I think dessert. I think of watermelon as kind of a dessert thing.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe so does Trevor Sanborn.
A little dessert.
And she does. She nails it. I like it when Claudia has a theme.
Yeah, me too.
She famously dressed as the sea.
Yep.
In Claudia's Lie or whatever it is.
It's cool. It's a cool look. And I really do think that they've pulled off the Claudia outfits very well in the show. And I don't know if that's you, Rachel, or if there's some kind of like, I guess, didn't we, when we watched the film, the 1992 film or whatever?
Oh yeah, we talked a lot about the costume.
Didn't we induct a costume designer into the Ghost Rider Hall of Fame as well?
Let's figure out who the costume designer is, and they can be our new Hodges Swallow, I think.
On the show.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go do some investigating right now. You vamp.
Okay, what would you like me to talk about? Well, let's talk about Trevor Sanborn. This is so...
You vamp, not us vamp.
I'm talking to the listeners.
Okay.
Let's you and I, listeners, have a little moment where we talk a little bit about Trevor Sanborn. He's very dreamy. He's very handsome. A lot of what the teens say when they see someone who is dreamy and handsome is hashtag swoon.
Okay.
And you're just going to talk over me while you're looking
for
stuff?
Okay, so I guess we haven't gotten here yet.
Yeah.
Because we're trying our best not to...
We don't want any spoilers, and we don't want to know how many episodes there are.
Watch ahead.
Yeah.
But apparently at some point in this series, maybe this is Dawn.
You're saying Dong?
Dawn.
Okay, I don't know that one.
At some point in this series, I think Vin Diesel becomes a babysitter.
Okay, that's interesting. From Triple X.
Fast and the
Furious.
Yeah, from Fast and the Furious. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay.
Does this seem right? Vin Diesel. I did a search for babysitters, and it pulled up Vin Diesel for some reason.
Did you? So that whole time that I was vamping for you, you Googled the word babysitters and landed on a Vin Diesel page, and that's what you're coming back to me with? Is that what's happening? Just say it if it is.
I guess so.
Okay. That
is that okay?
No, not really. No. I mean, we're going to have to work with it.
I can't. I'm on his IMDb page now, and I can't even figure out why.
Okay.
It gave me Vin Diesel as
Dawn. I think that's got to be wrong.
Babysitter. Well, if he's a result for Babysitter.
Well, I don't want to be one of these people who's like, oh, like you're changing the cast. Like you shouldn't have this actor play this. Like fucking do your thing. But I do think that Vin Diesel as Dawn is probably a bridge too far.
Okay. I think I figured it out.
Okay.
Vin Diesel, I think in this series, is going to be playing a character called the Pacifier.
Okay, that sounds cool. Like a...
Having recovered from wounds received in a failed rescue operation, Navy SEAL Shane Wolf is handed a new assignment. Protect the 5 plumber kids from enemies of their recently deceased father, a government scientist whose top secret experiment remains in the kids' house.
Okay.
That sounds like good, clean babysitting fun, and I can't wait for Vin Diesel's appearance on this television program. Also, Jack, listen to this.
Yeah.
Coming in 2021, a film called Furia, when Riddick finally finds his home planet, he has
no idea
what's in store for him.
The latest Chronicle in Pitch Black.
Well, the latest Chronicle in the Riddick.
And the Riddick Chronicles. Files, which get better and better every time. That's awesome, and it's cool that Anne and the Hand of God are trying to meld the two narrative arcs of Babysitter's Club and Chronicles of Riddick. That's something we definitely need to keep an eye on.
Yep. What are we talking about?
Well, let's talk about some of the handsome boys in the book. Trevor Sanborn.
It's a video book. Yes. Sorry.
Here's the thing about Trevor Sanborn. Very good-looking boy, and here's what he says. To Columbia.
What was I going to look up originally? Oh, I remember the vamp for me. I'm going to look up the costumer.
This sucks for me. I gotta say.
Well, do you want to look it up and I'll vamp?
I'm fine either way.
You tell me what you want to do.
No, let me talk because I'm vamping. I just want to tell the listeners what sucks. Is I started vamping and got pretty interested in a topic. And then was willing to let go of it to throw back to you because you had some time to look up who does the costumes. And what you had apparently
Vin
done
Diesel.
Is looked up Vin Diesel.
Well.
And then we talked about that, and then I did go back to the thing. And now you're still looking up the costumer, and you still haven't found him or her. And there's nothing. It's upsetting. You could see
Cynthia
why it's
upsetting. Cynthia Ann Summers.
Okay.
Series costume designed by Cynthia Ann Summers. Cynthia Ann, welcome to the fucking club.
Yeah.
I'm sorry my co-host is being so rude and stepping all over your introduction.
Yeah.
Into the series as a
Cynthia
honored
Ann Summers. Babysitter's Club art director. Cynthia Ann Summers. Cynthia Ann Summers, tell me more about her. What's her deal? Where does she live?
Oh, I already closed the window.
Okay, that's fine. Then let's talk about my thing. Trevor Sanborn is very handsome.
She lives, I think, in Los Angeles. Okay. She's been active since 1994.
What does that mean?
She's been working in costuming departments since 1994.
Okay.
Some of her notable things here are a film in 1998 called American Dragons, which sounds really good.
Okay.
Smallville.
Okay.
Remember
That's
Smallville?
Canceled. That's canceled.
Smallville's canceled?
Yeah.
For like doing something racist?
Oh no, it's the other Superman TV series that's canceled.
There's another Superman? Oh, Lois and Clark.
Yeah.
She did Bones.
Okay, this is not interesting for me.
Okay. Well, you asked.
Okay.
She did Snowpiercer TV show.
Okay, that is interesting to me, but not in the context of providing interesting content for our listeners. What I'd like to talk about is how good-looking Trevor Sanborn is.
Okay, yes.
And he's a good-looking guy, and here's what he says of Claudia's art. It's got kind of an Elizabeth Payton vibe. And then Claudia says, you know her work? And he says, she and my dad used to show together at the Chelsea Hotel back in the 90s.
That's cool.
That's so fucking cool. Elizabeth Payton is a real artist.
Well, so is
Mr. Sanborn?
Mr. Sanborn.
I guess so. I mean, by extension, that must be true.
They showed together.
She famously has a show in the Chelsea, in Hotel Chelsea, where people.
In the 90s?
In the 90s, where people, like, if they wanted to go and look at the art, they just, like, went to reception and asked for the key to room 828. That's and cool. They would go up and look at her cool art.
That's a cool way to do an art installation.
Yeah. There's also a Leonard Cohen song about the Chelsea Hotel.
I remember you well in the Chelsea Hotel. You were talking so brave and so sweet, giving me head on the unmade bed, while the limousines wait in the street.
Okay, well, you and I used to go to a market in the ground level of Chelsea Hotel, where we would buy Club Matas.
Oh, yeah, that's right, which is a German-like energy drink that we got excited about in Berlin.
Yeah.
So we're
in the scene.
In the scene, too.
We're kind of part of that scene.
But that's so... Trevor Sanborn is not just handsome, but his dad, his, like, hard-charging art dad...
Right.
...is, like, knows, like, a real-ass fucking bona fide modern artist who has, like, art in the MoMA.
Right.
That's very cool.
Speaking of being boned by hard-charging dads.
Okay, did I say that?
In so many words.
Yeah.
I have a hashtag swoon this week, Jack.
Okay, yeah.
The 5 minute 10 second mark of this show, we get a glance at Mr. Kishi and...
one of our Johns.
One of the Johns.
The first of our... We got to see the first of the Johns. And it's
Hachi Machi, Jack.
John Kishi and Hachi Machi to John Kishi, because wow. You know what I wrote down from my, in my John Kishi section?
What?
Is I wrote, I don't know how to spell it, but I wrote Humana Humana.
I don't know how to write Hachi Machi, but that's what I wrote too. my note-taking app seems to think Hachi Machi is spelled wrong.
Yeah, my Evernote was like, I don't think that's how you spell Humana Humana Humana. And I was like, hey, fucking you take a look at John Kishi and try to spell straight. You know, yeah. He's very
flustered,
very good looking man.
I can't wait to see what these other dads of Stony Brook look like.
Yeah.
After catching a glimpse of Mr. Well, we know what
we know what John Pike looks like.
No. We know what Marianne, what?
Oh, no.
Mr. Spear looks like.
We know
like.
What Richard Spear looks
like. And he looks like Kevin from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah. And he also weirdly looks like that guy from The Good Place.
The like evil.
The demon.
Yeah, the demon.
So that's interesting.
Those are both... Yeah, it's interesting that he looks a lot like that character actor.
Yeah.
and he talks like him.
And he talks like him a lot, yeah.
And he says something in this episode at 7:20.
What does he say?
He says...
That home invader...
The phantom caller...
...is still at large in Fairfield County.
Because Marianne comes home late from something. It's not described what she's coming home late from. And he's furious with her. He takes her phone. He gives her like this parental safety phone to use for the rest of the episode, which is why she needs to be a phantom phone caller.
Yeah, because her phone is like from, it's like calling from the past.
Yeah.
It's like it's not even a razor. It's like before the razor.
Jack, this is huge.
Yeah.
We're honing in on where Stony Brook, Connecticut is.
Oh, it's
near
Fairfield.
It's in Fairfield County.
Okay, that's big.
Connecticut.
We're going to find it now.
I think we're going to get pretty close.
Yeah.
Fairfield County, Connecticut. A lot of Googling. 10 or Googles. Okay. A lot of big cities in Fairfield County. Actually, not that many.
Yeah.
We already know Stamford's nearby.
Mm-hmm. But maybe one. Dick. What's one that has a lighthouse? It's on the coast. We know it's on the coast.
It's mostly coast.
Okay.
It's a lot of coast.
I'm sure the phantom phone caller has slipped the net by now.
Bridgeport, Stamford, Norwalk, Danbury. We're getting closer.
We're getting closer. Okay, we're going to hone in. We're going to figure it out. They must be filming somewhere, right? We can figure it out. When we interview these characters on the show, we can fucking grill them, give them the fucking 10th degree on where the hell they went. What undisclosed location?
They're not going to be forthcoming, so we'll have to like Yeah. We'll have to be a little coy about it. We'll be like, oh, what was it like filming in
Danbury?
Danbury, Connecticut.
Yeah, that's good.
And we'll just watch their reaction. They'll be like,
that's
what?
That's perfect. What?
Well, yeah, it's like, oh, sorry, did I say Danbury? I meant Bridgeport.
Interesting. That's very good. We're going to have to go. I will say, can I say a swoony thing that Trevor Sanborn said before we take a quick break?
Yes. Did you almost say Tanner instead of Trevor?
No.
It sounded like you almost accidentally said Tanner instead of Trevor.
I don't think so.
Okay.
What do you say this? It's hard to get that kind of translucency with the oils, but you nailed it. That's such a nice thing to say about someone's painting.
I would say that as I'm kind of oiling someone down for like a sensual massage.
Okay. You would say
like,
that.
Oh, it's really hard to get this kind of translucency with the oil, but your skin is just like...
Nailed it.
Soaking this up.
That's nice.
I'm going to have to bill you for more oil.
Humna. What did you say? Hachimachi? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break, then we're going to come back, and we have a lot to talk about this novel. Okay. Book, video, novel. Fuck.
Video, novel, book.
Okay, bye.
Everybody, it's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bye.
Tanner, we got to talk about the dolls, don't we? Haven't we got to?
Doll-heavy episode.
Yeah.
The doll faction is infused throughout this episode.
So the books are about dolls, and it looks like the Hand of God has taken her message from her liege lord, Princess Anne Martin, which is, we got to talk about dolls in this book. I don't know whether... So there's some obvious dolls, and then there's a nefarious, hidden dolls that's even scarier than the rest. Let's briefly talk about the obvious dolls, and then let's talk about the nefarious one.
Okay.
Karen Brewer is in this, and she's great.
Karen Brewer's in this, and they found the perfect person to play Karen Brewer.
Yeah.
This young actress is so talented, and
yeah.
she... I love her interpretation of Goth Karen.
Yeah. Goth Karen is fucking awesome. And she's clearly just like, what she has just recently done is drowned her doll.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what we've been advocating for everyone to do for since we started.
I think
this.
It was Scarlett Johansson who originally advocated for it.
It was
if I'm
originally,
not
yeah, or possibly the Marshalls. But
Marshalls.
It was
just making people up now.
Nina Marshall, come on.
Oh right, okay.
Work with me on this. But there was some original, because I think I can't remember where it started, but it became clear that the right way to get rid of the Sunnybrook is infested with dolls. Everyone knows this. There's
living,
a doll faction,
living dolls that are
living
evil.
Dolls
yes.
That are evil. And there are a lot of ways that people have tried to get rid of them. Burning.
Decapitation.
Drowning is the only way to do it.
They wrap them in chains and throw them into the bay. Doesn't
work. But they always keep coming back. You got to drown them. And the way that Karen is introduced is Christy is like, it's so nice to meet you, Karen. And then Karen's like first line in this entire series is,
get out cookies. I need some refreshments for the wake I'm having for my doll.
It's fucking awesome. Goth Karen fucking rules.
Goth Karen is cool.
Christy's like, should we close our eyes? And Karen says,
no. It's dark enough in the grave.
Very good. Very good writing. But
Karen's very good.
Book is doll heavy.
Yeah. And Karen's doll, whose name is Krakatoa.
Yeah.
Who has passed.
Yeah.
Is not the only doll.
Right.
And I don't think it's just Rachel Schuchert has been compromised by the dolls.
Let's just call her the Hand of God, I think.
The Hand of God isn't the only one who's been compromised with the dolls, because I'm a little worried, Jack, that Marianne Spear, the phantom phone caller herself, is a doll.
Okay, tell me more.
Christy says Marianne is a doll.
Does she say that?
Yeah, 9 minutes, 20 seconds. Christy says that Kevin from Brooklyn Nine-Nine mm-hmm. treats Marianne like a China doll in a box.
He treats you like some kind of China doll in a box.
Okay. So that's something to keep an eye on. At 11 minutes and 53 seconds, Tanner, in this video novel, we get a glimpse inside Claudia's locker. And what is written in big glowing letters inside?
They glow? Like infernal text?
I was just trying to have an adjective to make it sound bigger than it was. They're just not glowing at all.
Why don't you try being precise with your language for once? It's a fucking podcast.
In
That's
big
all we have.
Infernal letters.
Okay.
Are the words sparkle, Neely, sparkle.
Sparkle, Neely, sparkle.
Sparkle, Neely, sparkle.
Spell Neely for me.
N-E-E-L-Y.
Okay. Have you investigated?
Oh, I've investigated. I'd love for you to investigate so you could come to the same conclusion that I did.
Tanner Googles. Am I Googling Sparkle Neely Sparkle?
Please, Google Sparkle Neely Sparkle and tell me what it's from.
Okay. Yeah, and are you... Hand of God, are you... Are you toying with us?
Are you toying with us? You knew we would look it up. You knew we would look it up. It's not a reference that Claudia is likely to make.
Baby Nation, the line, sparkle, Neely, sparkle, is from a film.
They say I'm difficult. They say I'm drunk even when I'm not. Sure, I take dolls. I gotta get some sleep. I gotta get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and sparkle, Neely, sparkle.
From 1967... called Valley of the Dolls.
Valley of the Dolls. And that what better way to describe Stony Brook could there be?
Well, I don't think it's a valley, so I would maybe say Coastal City of the Dolls.
Okay. Well, then the bad way to describe Stony Brook, but the dolls are there, aren't they?
The dolls are there. Yeah.
It's full of dolls and uncaught phantom phone callers. And some of them are the same. Some of them are both. Marianne, I'm looking at you. You're both of the bad things this week.
Crazy to me that they would embed a message like that, and it must be for us. And
it's totally a threat.
It's a threat to us.
I feel, and I'm watching.
The
hairs on the back of my neck stood up when I saw that. It's a threat directed at us.
Walden Greedia. Message fucking received.
Yeah, message received. We will respond in kind.
Yeah,
that's right. You're damn right. We will. We will respond in kind. Don't fucking. Hey, when you go back to school and open your locker, be fucking careful. Walden Greedia.
Jack. Yeah. 14 minute, 30 second mark.
Mm-hmm.
Christy comes over to Watson's house to take care of Karen and Andrew.
Yeah, they're both so good in this.
But we catch a brief peek at my favorite new character, yeah. A character for whom I've dedicated a new segment that I'm calling... I always feel like Watchson Watson.
Okay, can we workshop it just a little bit? I think
the title?
Watchin' Watson. Oh, I could see what happened.
You think Watchin' Watchson is better?
Doesn't even include
the character's name.
Watchin' Watson.
Watchson Watson, yeah.
I feel like you skipped a step. Watchin' Watson. It's hard to say. Watson
Brewer is in this scene. He and Elizabeth Brewer, Batgirl, are.
You know what you could call it? You could call it What's in Watson. What's in Watson?
That doesn't work.
Because it's like you're finding out what makes him tick.
Oh, okay.
What's in Watson?
Watson Watson.
Okay.
And this week, Watson and Elizabeth are dressed as Batgirl.
Yeah.
This week, they're dressed as flightless bats. Getting ready for some kind of...
I couldn't tell what they were dressed as. I wrote down mouse, and then I was like, I think it's a mouse. And I was like, maybe they're cat people, but that wasn't quite it. But you've nailed it. They're dressed as flightless bats, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to some kind of blood feast or orgy or something. So they need a sitter, and the only sitter available is Christy. Christy has been resisting Watson's charms and resisting taking care of Karen and Andrew, but tonight she can no longer resist, and she comes over, and Watson in this scene is so good and so energetic and so fun. All he wants to do is show Christy that there is a section of his mansion house where the acoustics work out in such a way that you can hear your own echo.
Yeah, it's called Watson's Whispering Gallery. It's so good, and it's such a sad moment. He's like, Christy, check it out. I've got Watson's Whispering Gallery, and she's like, okay. And then he runs over with Andrew, and he whispers, and like the acoustics make the whisper carry. And he goes,
Christy, we're so happy you're here, right, Andrew?
Yeah. And then Christy's like, okay.
I'm gonna go get Andrew some milk.
I love this character.
Yeah, it's fucking wonderful. I love Watson, and we're Watson Watson, and what's in Watson? What Watson. I don't know, but it's good.
Yeah,
and
it's
goodness.
It's pure goodness.
It's pure goodness. Should we talk about some more scary stuff?
Okay,
this is scary. So last week we had the character that they tried to hide from us was Beret Woman, Beret Lady.
Yes, who she showed up.
We think it may have been related to the Babysitter's Agency, which is teased.
Which is teased at the end of this episode,
In this video novel. We saw it coming. No one else did. Babysitter's Agency. But the characters that they tried to hide from us in this video novel, I don't know what to make of it. Here's what I'll say. I have to describe it. There's no words around them. I can't play a clip. But at 11:58, in the background, as Claudia is talking to Stacy, two women walk past behind her, and they're both dressed identically. Blue jeans, pink t-shirt, black backpacks. And then a minute later at 13:04, a third woman walks past in the exact same spot.
And it wasn't, you're certain it wasn't the same?
It's not the same actress. Same fucking outfit. Blue jeans, pink t-shirt. It's uncanny. You wouldn't notice it unless you were a fucking professionally trained noticer of Babysitter's Club things, which I am. But that's, there's something. What happened? Did the hand of God tell all the extras that they had to wear the same, like it's like a cult? They're pulled from a cult? Or is there a sinister faction in Stony Brook that's like these fucking pink shirt people?
The
like,
Pinkos.
Pinkos. It's communists.
Oh, it's the communists. Right?
I don't know. I wish I could have you watch it, because it's like, once you notice it, it's like, I noticed two of them and then I was like, and there's another one.
I'm so curious.
And they all walk into the same room. So that's something to fucking think about, and it's scary. I was calling them
the clones. That's so interesting. I'm so curious about these. What are you calling them?
The clones.
Okay. I was going to call them the Pinkos.
Pinkos is good too. That works. We don't know, because there's nothing is said about them.
I'm trying to think if it maps back to any of the existing factions, but I don't think it does. There's no, I mean, ballerinas wear pink.
Could be ballerinas.
They don't wear jeans though.
No, I mean, maybe on their off days.
I don't think so. Yeah. I think they wear tutus.
I think it's something to keep an eye on. And I don't know the answer. But also don't think I'm not watching. And that actually brings me to a second thing that's scary, and this is also in, I think, Claudia's locker. We see it at 9:50. The eyes are back.
The eyes are back. Of Argus. Yep. These eyes of Argus are always there, and they're always watching Claudia.
Yeah, and so we noticed it last week because Stacy was wearing the eyes of Argus
wearing
on her
a sweater.
Shirt. That's just like 100 eyes.
Yep.
Which is a reference to the god Argus, who is always watching, killed by Zeus eventually, but I'm not sure if that's relevant. And then at 9:50 in this video novel, Claudia opens her locker and she's got the eyes of Argus who are watching us. The only thing I can think of is that the eyes represent, it's like it's not for us to see, it's a message for Rachel. It's a message from Anne.
Oh, it's
she's saying, I'm fucking watching you.
We're
still
watching.
Here. Yeah, we're watching.
Don't fuck this up.
Don't fuck this up. Like, I've handed over this world to you, but like, I am still the god of this.
Those
creation.
Eyes are the eyes of Anne. It's the eyes of Suzanne. It's the eyes of Nola. It's the eyes of Sweet Pete. It's the eyes of Vanity. It's the eyes of the Leviathan.
The Leviathan, yeah.
Those are all of their eyes. They're mighty eyes watching down from the, well, I was going to say the heavens, but watching up from the murky depths.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, right. And we also thought it might be the eyes of Shub-Niggurath, is that right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
The thousand-eyed monster from
Lovecraft. So that's
Jack.
Scary. Yeah.
Can I talk about a new hit segment from this series called
Please. You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender. I could have
played that fucking character.
Yeah.
Wherein I confront the Walden Greedia casting directors and challenge them to cast me in a part on the show and call them cowards for not doing so this season.
Yeah.
So I will do all that now. Please cast me on the show and you're cowards for not doing it this season.
Yes.
Here's a character I could have played at the Halloween Hop. You see him very briefly in the background of one shot. Dance DJ.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There's just some dork guy in the background just like.
You'd be perfect for that role.
I could do that.
It's not a kid. It's role. Like it's like some Stony
it's,
an, Brook.
A man. It's a man. It's a man.
It's a man. That's what you are. That's what
I'm
you
a man.
Are.
And look at this.
Oh, my God. Baby Nation. I can't describe it, but Tanner's doing like. Well, I can. He's doing like a bad DJ dance.
Like a really lame dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
I could have played that character.
Upsetting. It's outrageous. Come on.
And for you, Jack, let's see. Let's isolate someone you could have played this week.
Can I be the eyes? Could I just be like hiding in Claudia's locker? And it's just
I would
like,
love
you see
to
my
see
eyes?
You. I would love to see you, a 42-year-old man.
Not yet.
With 41-year-old man with a beard.
Yeah.
Thinning hair. Walking in by in the background behind Claudia's closet wearing a pink shirt and blue jeans.
In her locker.
And a black backpack. No. I want you to be one of the Pinkos.
I could have been one of the
people. I want us to notice. I want us to notice, maybe if you're keeping a careful eye out.
Yeah.
I want us to notice three young women walk by in this outfit, and then clearly a middle-aged man walking by in the same outfit.
That's pretty good.
I guess we should just rip the Band-Aid off, huh?
Okay. And it's where we just talk about a burn.
There was one extremely good burn this week. I'm sure we both have it. I'm sure it was both of our burns.
Okay, why don't you go? Because I've got two good burns.
Okay. At the 4 minute mark, they are at the Babysitter's Club meeting and they're talking.
Yeah,
and
this is a very good burn. And Batgirl calls.
Batgirl calls.
Yeah.
I didn't capture the whole quote, did you?
Yeah, I've got the whole quote.
Okay, why don't you say it?
Okay. This is very funny. Batgirl calls. I think they're scared because they're like, it's the phantom phone caller. So maybe Batgirl is one of the phantom phone callers. They're like, it's going to be the phantom phone caller. And the phone rings and then it's Batgirl. So that's another option. This is like all this misdirection.
No, no, no. The phantom phone caller has a very specific MO, which is they call over and over and over again. Batgirl only calls once.
But they think in this moment, they're like talking about the phantom phone caller. And then the phone rings and Christy gets scared. And then it's Batgirl. Right. Batgirl says, hey, Watson needs a sitter. And Christy's like, Watson needs a fucking sitter. And Stace and Claude are going to the Halloween Hop. Claude is like hot and heavy with Trevor Sanborn. I don't know if we've hit that hard enough because
she's hot to trot.
Because I guess they couldn't be bothered to introduce Pete Black yet. Because it is true that in Claudia and the Phantom Phone Calls, Trevor Sanborn is the guy. But it's kind of the last we hear of Trevor Sanborn in a real way.
Yeah, he becomes like a mention every now and then as like a Pete key Black's boy in Stony Brook.
Friend. Yeah. Yeah. I think Stacey dates him at some point. Anyway, that's getting ahead of ourselves. Stace and Claude are going to the Hop. And so Marianne says,
Christy, this is like the seventh time since the club has started that your mom or Watson has called in with a job. You're the only one who hasn't gone, and you're the only one they actually want.
And then Christy like gets this expression on her face where she's like, resign. And she's like, okay. It seems like she's like, oh, you're right. And then she goes back to the phone, she takes him off hold, and she goes,
Marianne Spear will be your sitter on Friday. Have a wonderful day.
Yeah.
That's fucking good as hell.
That's not the burn I was talking about.
Oh, really? That burn
literally
rules.
Right after that,
okay,
some bit of conversation leads to Christy saying,
I'd rather have head lice again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And Claudia says,
you get head lice a lot.
Yeah.
And Christy just kind of did this face that's like, well, what are you going to do?
When it happens.
That's the true burn, the head lice burn.
Well, the other burn is when Claudia and Trevor Sanborn are talking about Trevor's like genuinely pretty good abstract painting. It's like textured and interesting.
Yeah, it's cool.
And he's looking at it. And he's like, what do you think? And she's like, oh, it's good. Which it, honestly, in and of itself, is a burn. Like, Claudia, you're a fucking artist. You like this man. Don't just say it's good. Say something about the fucking piece.
Good art.
Don't say it's good. Yeah, it's whatever. Fucking it really, like, I love the shading and the texture. Like, say something. Anyway, she does.
Love the bold colors. It reminds me of a Rothko.
Great. That would be really nice. But that would be weird because it's supposed to be a self-portrait. And that the Rothkos are not self-portraits, and so
the bold colors. I mean, I'm not saying it's a one-to-one for a Rothko. It's not even fucking like squares. It was this abstract sort of piece. I'm just saying, like, his choice of color reminded me of a Rothko.
The texture of your color is so powerful. That reminds me of a Rothko, and much like the Rothko's colors, which are like peeling back an onion, just thinking about the different layers of color. So are you, Trevor Sanborn, like an onion that I would like to unpeel, by which I mean clothes, but also personality and learn more about
Your little hat. He's got a cool
and his
little hat.
Funny little artist hat.
Yeah.
But what Trevor says,
one-to-one artist, I would equate it to maybe Clifford Still.
Okay.
Or, Who also uses sort of those big kind of streaks of bold colors? It's really Clifford Still in my mind.
Jasper Johns, maybe?
Oh, you mean Geoff Johns? His run with Green Lantern?
No, I meant Jasper Johns. He mostly does flags and stuff, but no, he'll sometimes Geoff like Johns. Fuck around. Okay. Well, that's the Green Lantern is different. We're getting off topic.
Okay.
Here's what Trevor says. He looks at his painting and he looks disappointed and then he says, "My dad says it's derivative, like something he painted in the 80s.
His dad sounds like a dick.
That's such a fucked up thing to say. It's like, hey, you know what is probably pretty good? If your like 12-year-old son did something in art class that looks like you, a famous fucking artist.
You were at the Chelsea Hotel in the 90s.
At the Chelsea Hotel in the 90s, was able to do in the fucking 80s. Anyway, That's my burn.
That sort of brings me back to a segment we've already done. Mm-hmm. I could have played this fucking role. You could play that
the dad.
Disappointed art dad.
I could be a disappointed art dad.
Just sort of off screen. Maybe your part got cut.
You know what? I'm going to say, I think I did play that role. Like, I'm not in the show, but like, I am so disappointed art dad in my soul that maybe I was Trevor Sanborn's dad.
Yeah.
And that's who Rachel was thinking
of. But you just said you liked his art. So you're going to have to change your opinion on art pretty quickly.
Yeah, I can do that.
I don't have anything else to talk about, do you?
Very briefly, before we leave, Marianne's room at 10:44, Marianne is being watched over by Humpty Dumpty. Tanner, let me ask you a question. Okay. We've talked about the beginning of the Babysitter's Club as being a move from a pre-lapsarian to a post-lapsarian state. There's a lot of Garden of Eden and the end of innocence mythology that has already been introduced in the first episode of this series.
Are you saying Humpty Dumpty is an allegory for original sin?
Well, let me ask you this question, Tanner. And thank you for setting me up. What do Humpty Dumpty and Eve have in common?
Nothing.
They both fell.
Broad, but yes, I guess so.
And that's what this is about?
That's it.
That's interesting. That's what's watching over Marianne's bed. It's an egg that's about to break. It's so fucking pregnant with meaning. She also has cat people on her pillow. And there's a mermaid sitting on her windowsill. And it represents the sirens.
Okay.
They're calling to her.
Someone interacts with a mermaid at some point. Oh, Karen.
Does Karen talk about mermaids in this? I don't remember.
Karen meets a mermaid.
Oh, in Karen's mermaid, little sister number like 65, probably.
Yeah.
That's a deep cut for...
Do you think maybe it's a...
Even literally for listeners of our show.
You think it's an allegory to Karen?
It's an allegory. It's like a fucking tease for... for like 20 years from now when there's a spinoff of this. It's the Little Sister series.
Oh, God, I would watch that.
It's very interesting. These video novels are very interesting. We've learned a lot. We're peeling back the onion that is Trevor Sanborn, and we're peeling back the onion of these video books, aren't we?
Wouldn't mind peeling back the onion on Mr. Kishi.
And Mr. Kishi in particular, who's a very handsome John, and we've met the first of our Johns, haven't we? And it's Kishi. What I'd love to do is leave and also to go.
Okay.
I'd like to thank you, Tanner, for bearing with me.
Okay.
I would like to thank the Baby Nation for bearing with us. Thank you for bearing with us, Baby Nation. I would like to remind everybody that they can subscribe to our Patreon if they like. We have a Patreon at patreon.com/BSCCpodcast where we talk about the Little Sister books. It's only $5 a month, and we have a whole other show, and it's good, and we just sing the descriptions, and we like it, and everybody has a good time in there.
Why are you hedging so much?
I'm not. It's not hedging. I'm advertising the show. Because you won't do it for me. Say the merch.
It's good. It's good.
Okay, great. Now you're hedging.
The show is so good.
Thank you.
And it only costs $5 a month.
It's
but you can
not
also
a lot.
Give us more if you want.
Yeah, you can if you want. That's one of the perks.
It's up to you.
A lot
of people are amending their pledges to
$5.69. $6.69 is good, too.
Yeah.
$6.90. is great.
$6.90 is great. Yeah.
Buy our merch, bit.ly/BSCCmerch. We got t-shirts, we got totes, we got stickers, the
we
whole
nine
yards.
We should
just
do a new tier.
Yeah.
Where if you pay $6.90, we'll like do your voicemail or something.
I'd love to do someone's voicemail. And please do join the Facebook group. It's the Baby Nation Facebook group. You can find it on our Facebook page, Babysitters Club Club on Facebook. In the meantime, what I would like to tell you is that this week we did read a video book, and it was called Babysitters Club number 2, season 1, episode 2, Claudia and the Phantom Phone Calls. I didn't look this up because my Netflix is weird and it's difficult to figure out how to get to the screen where you see what the episodes are called, but I assume that next week we're going to be discussing a video book called Season 1, Episode 3, The Truth About Stacy. That sounds likely, doesn't it?
I assume so, too. Did the Babysitter's Club agency stuff happen in, and I hate to compare these to the original novels, but did the Babysitter's Club agency stuff, it did.
Yeah, because it's about truth, right? It's about truth and lies.
Right, they smoke cigarettes.
And that's a lie. Right, because they're presenting themselves as something else. Right. So that's something to look forward to. In the meantime, I would like to tell you that this week I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
And I'm Tanner Greenring.
Please do remember to round off the corners in your bedroom, drown all your dolls, call your senator, and demand your right to bear time. And do not forget to let Daddy love you as much as I do. Remember the Delaney's. Remember the Trip Man. Take your dream horse through that maze. Claudia's wearing a bra now, and the way she talks, you would think that boys had just been All right, I've hit play. Let's count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's very unlikely. What?
It's like chaos theory. I remembered right at the last second that we also have to do burn. Okay. And it distracted me so much that I said 2 instead of 10.
Okay. Let's go. Here, let's talk about it.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.